Hello everyone. It's been nearly a year since my last episode of Women of My Generation. It was supposed to be a summer break, but I'm going to be completely honest with you. I didn't have the energy to juggle a lockdown and a podcast. On social media, you might have seen people being really productive the past year. Personally, I lacked inspiration and creativity to release something new. And frankly, recording episodes over Skype was not the same. With that said, as lockdown has lifted, I'm very excited to have meaningful conversations again and share the stories of many wise women with you. For those of you who are new to Women of My Generation, it all started as a photo project questioning beauty standards by showing diversity. I was invited to women's houses and took photos of them in their bedrooms, wearing whatever underwear they felt comfortable in. I realised quickly that this was more than a visual project. It was just as much about the conversations. I realised how similar women's experiences are in terms of our relationship with our bodies, but how stigmatised it still is to have honest conversations about it. Therefore, I want to provide this safe space for open conversations. Today, I'm revisiting Alice Dunbar. She was my first ever guest in Women of My Generation. Last time we spoke about her journey from a diet blogger to body confidence advocate. Today, we speak about her incredible success on social media and how she uses her platform to continue to raise awareness of the toxic diet culture we live in. She will give her best tips on how to avoid being indoctrinated into these messages and what she has learned during the past years. I hope you'll enjoy it as much as I did. And if you do, please share it with people who need a helping hand in this confusing society. The music you're about to hear is by my wonderful friend Tilda Ali. You can find her music on Spotify and enjoy her visuals and freestyle sessions on Instagram under Tilda Ali. My name is Fanny Beckman and this is Women of My Generation. Alice,
hello.
Welcome back.
This is so weird and so nice.
How are you today?
Yeah, I'm really good actually, thank you. I went out and saw a few of my friends last night for a couple of drinks and I feel like it's put me in a really good mood today.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Still sort of getting used to it all.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. Like, it still feels a bit surreal that we can go out and
it feels
people.
Very naughty. I feel like I shouldn't be doing it, but I am doing it as much as possible. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Fine.
I feel the same. Well, we were just talking about how much has changed since we recorded our first episode, which was, it was actually back in December or November 2019. And yeah, it's crazy. Obviously, we've had a pandemic and it's just so bizarre thinking back how it was before all of this.
Well, I was just saying that I actually listened to my episode this morning to kind of just, you know, remind myself because I hadn't listened to it since it came out, basically. And I just, well, first of all, I feel like recording that podcast was kind of like, because the questions that you asked me, that they made me sort of look in on myself and really think about sort of my journey and my relationship with my body and diet culture and stuff. And I had a lot of realizations even just through recording that podcast. But now I listen back and I can hear myself like being quite unsure of lots of things. Whereas now I'm like, I know the answer to that question. I could, you know, I feel like the past year I've done a lot of kind of self-reflection, like learning to understand like the way that my brain works and like my relationship with food and like my body, like I said, and where it's all come from. And I kind of know the answers now, whereas before I hadn't even considered the questions, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing, that kind of positive thing, I suppose, with lockdown as well. We've had a lot of time to reflect on things.
Yeah.
Which can be both positive and negative.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, a lot of time to think, but also a lot of time to overthink, I think, you know?
100%. But yeah, you just mentioned that you've done loads of reflection on yourself, and you've done it quite like publicly as well.
Very, very publicly, yeah. Mm. So the last time that we recorded, the last episode of the podcast, follower count is not like the be all and end all, but it's kind of, I think, the best way to sort of describe how things have changed for me anyway. So the last time I had been stuck at around like 3,500 followers on Instagram for about a good like 2 years, maybe even three, I don't know. I was posting about like body image and stuff like that, but still posting about lots of different things and not really being 100% sure of my voice. And then I basically, just before lockdown, I decided that I just wanted to blog about body image and mental health and like anti-diet stuff, because that was my passion. And I was like, you know, I really, really want to like put that message out there. So I decided to stop posting about most other things. Like, I still, you know, do a little bit here and there, because I think it's nice to sort of get to know a person as they are, even if they have sort of one specific topic that they talk about. But yeah, I've essentially just gone down that route and really put my all into it. And now, so then my goal was to reach 5,000, and I did that. And then within a month, I reached 10,000, which was my, like, I never imagined that I would like get to that stage, because you get a swipe up link on Instagram when you get to 10,000. And that's all I wanted.
Big moment.
I was like, I just want to be able to swipe up to things, and then I'll feel like I've accomplished everything. And then after that, it's just kind of kept on growing. I stopped, once I got to 10K, I was like, oh, do you know what, like, this is all I ever wanted, so I'll just sort of chill out a bit. But it still kept growing, and now I've just sort of got past 20K, and I don't know, it's just really weird, because it's just all happened quite quickly, mm-hmm. and I didn't expect it. And if you'd gone back to me that recorded the last episode of the podcast, she would not believe you, like, at all. And so, yeah, things have changed a lot, basically.
Yeah, right. And I remember you said back then that your blog and your Instagram was a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Just blogged about whatever you fancied, but now it's a lot more niche.
Yeah, I just think that I realised that not only did I feel really passionately about helping other people, but I realised that I had a lot of work still to do myself. So I was like, well, what better way than to channel my energy into that and really challenge myself? Because I think I probably mentioned this on the last episode of the podcast, but the thing that really kind of kicked off my like body confidence journey was when you came and did the photo shoot with me, and I took pictures of me in my underwear, sat on my bed, and that was terrifying to me, like literally terrifying, but I did it. And then I posted it publicly, and the effect that that had was like massive on my confidence. And I was like, oh my God, I need to start doing stuff like that more and pushing myself out of my comfort zone. And I never felt comfortable, because what I always wanted to do then was take my own pictures like that, you know, but I didn't feel comfortable enough to do it. And then when we went into lockdown, I was like, well, I'm going to be at home all the time, why not try and see if that's something that I can do? And then I did it. So it's almost been like I've been documenting my body confidence journey, which has just grown and grown and grown over this year. Mm. And now I'm sort of in a position where people then come to me for advice, and I can give it with conviction, because I've been there, I've done it, I'm still doing it. It's obviously always a journey, but yeah, and it's just been wild, I would say.
Well, I'm so glad to hear about like the effect she'd had on
you. Yeah, genuinely, like that is 100% the catalyst for me doing what I do today, because I don't think I ever would have decided to post a picture of myself in my underwear without you asking, or you know, offering to include me in your project. Mm. I would never have done it. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I want, really, with the project. My pleasure.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have to think about, like, the number of people that tell me all the time how much of an effect my kind of content and my account has on them. And actually, that's directly come from you, because you had the effect on me, so you should feel really good about yourself.
Thank you.
Genuinely.
Well, that means a lot to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But for anyone who's not familiar with your Instagram or blog, could you just describe what kind of content you put out there now?
Yeah, so I have a tagline. My tagline is ex-diet blogger on a body confidence journey. So in the last episode, we talked about how I actually started off my blogging life as a weight loss blogger, and then I sort of had a revelation after a couple of years, took me a while, and then started blogging about the exact opposite, so like body confidence stuff. So I blog about sort of things relating to that. So I talk about like my experience with Slimming World, which is that's the diet that I did. I talk about like fashion for size, well, I'm a size 16, so I post sort of fashion content as well. I talk about like I give body confidence tips, I do like how-tos, I film like fun reels and like videos. So my favorite thing to do is to film myself getting ready, so starting off in like my underwear, and then like I always dance around to like a like noughties nostalgic
yes.
song of some kind. And yeah, I hope, like, it's a lot of fun. Like, I like everything that I own basically is all pastel colours. So I have like a little aesthetic going on, which is nice. And yeah, I think that's it. I do post about quite a lot of different things. I try and sort of talk about my experience, but I also then do kind of, you know, like I said, kind of how-tos and things like that to impart a bit of wisdom on other people. And I'd also talk a lot about, because I was seen as, well, overweight in quote marks as a child, and the fat phobia that I experienced as a child had a huge effect on my childhood in general, and then also has continued to have an effect on me as an adult. And I found that whenever I posted about that stuff, people were like, I would get people messaging me like, oh my god, like you have just put into words like what I have felt my entire life, and I didn't even know I was feeling it. Like people really felt heard, because I think maybe there's more now, but I think for a really long time there hasn't really been a lot of, you know, there's been reports and stuff into how awful the childhood obesity epidemic is, blah blah blah, but there has never really been a lot of work done on what that fat phobia and that the effect of being so terrified of this obesity epidemic or whatever has on the children who are going through that, and then how it affects them and how it makes them view themselves, their bodies, you know, their self-worth and stuff, and then how that affects them going into adulthood. And to me, I think that basically children like that who are taught to fear their bodies often grow up into adults who fear their bodies, and therefore they are the adults that then impart that fear onto their children. 100%. So it's like a chain, and I really would like to break that chain. That is my aim. So I talk about that a lot as well. There's all sorts of kind of pillars that come off what I just love it. I really feel so passionate about it, and I feel like I've sort of found my space on the internet, and I feel just really like positive about what's gonna come next, whatever that happens to be. I have no idea.
Well, I think it's really important what you raise now with you know, projecting eating disorders onto children, because that's something that I've learned a lot throughout this project,
both
people I take photos of, but also in previous episodes.
100%.
That's so common, and I didn't know how common that was, because it's so stigmatized to talk about.
It is, but it's all, I mean, I think it's really important to note that I don't ever blame the people who do that, because it's not their fault. They have been the product of someone else's sort of diet culture issues fat phobia and stuff, and then the same with them. So it's, you know, nobody does it on purpose.
No.
I mean, maybe some people do, I don't know. But I would say that like 99.9% of people are doing it out of love. And because, you know, they would see, you know, if their child put on weight, they would immediately see that as something absolutely terrible and to be scared of. And they would then instill that fear in the child rather than maybe taking a step back and being like, okay, well, you know, children's bodies do change over time. Like, you know, maybe we should be looking at other things and finding out if there's a reason why this change has happened. And I think one of the things that I always say is that I think we should be treating children who have put on a bit of weight in quite a short space of time the same way that we'd treat a child if they suddenly lost a lot of weight in a small space of time. You know, you'd be very tactful, you'd be very careful, you'd be thinking, you know, what's going on, like what has caused this, you know, check in on their mental health and stuff, rather than being like, you need to eat as much as possible to make sure that you get back to that size. Which is, you know, that's essentially what we do at the moment, is that we, you know, we see a weight gain and we think, right, well, we need to sort their eating out, rather than being like, maybe we should see what's going on here.
Or complimenting people who lose weight.
That's a whole other thing, you know, like, and I talk about that quite a lot as well. That often gets met with quite a lot of backlash because I understand it's difficult. So basically what I'm talking about is the notion that I believe that you should not compliment people on their weight loss.
No. Because, I agree.
You know, I think that even when somebody, well, first of all, people often do not want to, you know, they didn't lose the weight on purpose, and it could be through like an eating disorder. You could be complimenting someone who's been diagnosed with cancer, even, you know, you could be
stress,
depression, like not having enough money to feed themselves. You know, there's all sorts of reasons why people lose weight, and it's not necessarily purposeful. And then even if it is purposeful, so talking as somebody who lost a lot of weight doing Slimming World and received a lot of compliments for it, I don't blame the people who gave me the compliments because they knew that I was trying to lose weight and were just being nice. But when I then put the weight back on, which inevitably, you know, 95% of diets fail and most people end up putting on even more weight than they lost originally because your body recovers from starvation by being really hungry and craving high fat, high sugar, whatever foods. So you're more likely to eat those things. That's just how it works. That's biology. So then when you inevitably put on weight after you've sort of lost loads and been complimented and told you look amazing, then you sort of think, oh, all those people, you know, now probably think, A, I failed, B, I look terrible, like, you know, and your self-worth just goes down. And that happened to me. Again, not those people's fault because they didn't know. And I, at the time, enjoyed the compliments. It was just afterwards that I felt the effects of those. So I would say avoiding anything to do with image, really. Like, you know, I think like complimenting, I like to sort of compliment someone's like outfit and stuff like that, and that's great. But I think it's even nicer if you can compliment people by saying like, oh, you're like, I always look forward to spending time with you. Whenever I know I'm going to see you, I get so excited. Or like, you're such a like supportive friend I can go to you for anything. Or like, I love your smile, that like, you light up the room, da da da. There's so many nice things that you can say about someone that are so much more like, I don't know, I think they mean so much more than just saying like, oh, you look really skinny. Love it.
Exactly.
Whatever.
What are you going to do with that?
Exactly. So that's, hopefully that gives a little bit of an overview on my, like, what I like to talk about, but there's all sorts there. So, you know, go and have a look.
I think that's really important that we say this because so many people aren't aware of the effect those kind of compliments or comments do. But I want to talk a bit more. You said like you have a bit of a backlash when you talk about this, and I was wondering if you feel pressured to post on social media because obviously you have a full-time job apart from this. And it seems to be a very positive atmosphere in general on your account, and you've mentioned now that you've had messages from various people thanking you. But when you do get negative comments, how do you tackle that?
I mean, I do get negative. I don't get loads. I've got more since my account has grown, like, naturally. And what tends to happen is that, like, quite a lot of, like, fairly often I'll do a post and then some of them will just go, like, not viral. That's, you know, that's a big word, but, like, they do really well. So, for example, one of my videos that I made, which annoyingly was one that I didn't really put a lot of thought into and, like, I wasn't, like, overly happy with at the end, but it did really well and it's been seen now by, like, more than 500,000 people, which is crazy. Like, let's not even go there. but yeah, so that's been, it was seen by loads and loads of people. And what happens is Instagram sort of can tell when your audience are really loving a post, they start to put it out to other people that don't follow you, which is great because it means that you get new people finding you, but you get people who love your content and want to follow you finding you, and then you also get people who don't agree with you or trolls or people who, you know, for whatever reason decide to leave hateful comments, which, yeah, I mean, they used to get to me, I can't lie. Like, it was definitely a bit of a learning curve and, you know, I mean, nobody's going to enjoy all of a sudden having, especially when I was very used to living in my little bubble where, like, you know, I wasn't growing very much. My followers were really, like, engaged and really, like, lovely people. But then all of a sudden you open yourself up to this whole world of, like, new people who some of you, you know, what I say is quite, to some people, is quite out there. So you're going to get people who don't agree. And I struggled to begin with, but I don't think there's anything that anyone could say that would really, really bother me because, number one, my, like, self-confidence has massively grown over the past year. My skin has definitely got thicker. And like you said, for every one negative comment, I get literally hundreds of positive ones. So I just, as much as possible, I try and focus on those. And I do respond to the negative comments. Not always. Sometimes I delete them because I'm like, can't be asked. But I do like to respond to them, either to show them, you know, if it's just someone being like, you know, putting a pig face or whatever. I just like to sort of wind them up a bit. Or if it's somebody who's just ignorant, but, you know, I feel like could potentially you could have like a conversation with them. I try to go back and like educate in a way, not necessarily even for the benefit of the person who left the comment, because most of the time I'm like, well, if you sort of disagree enough to leave a comment, you're probably not going to change, I'm not going to change your mind, but it's more for the people who might be reading that thread. Because what I hate is the idea of somebody, you know, going to one of my videos and feeling really empowered by the content that they watch and then reading the comments and reading something, you know, negative and just it completely being eradicated, you know? So I try and respond to those or delete them. I try not to just leave them there because that's, you know, exactly what I don't want, is for them to get to other people because it's one thing, like, I'm used to it, but they're not.
No, I'm really glad to hear that you're kind of coping with them all right, because, but also think it's important what you said that, at least in the beginning, they kind of hurt you.
Oh yeah, and, definitely.
Because I think a lot of people, especially women, just say, no, it's fine, I don't care. But then actually it does hurt.
When and you know, there's been times when, like, even recently, I'll read one and it catch me on a bad day and I'll like sob about it for a little bit. You know, and then I it's okay, like, get out of my system. And then I remind myself of all those things I just mentioned and, you know, feel better. Ultimately, I know that I'm helping people. And ultimately, I know that, like, the work that I'm doing is important. So there's nothing that anyone could say that would make me sort of stop or, you know.
Yeah. Well, so I'm so glad to hear that.
That's good.
And also, like you mentioned several times, that this year has been pretty good for you in terms of your body image.
Yeah.
But not everyone shares the same story in terms of, like, lockdown. I think it's been really hard having loads of, like I said, overthinking. And if you're already suffering from some kind of eating disorder, it's been horrible.
100%.
Because, like, eating disorders is not just always about body, but also about taking control of the food.
Yeah, exactly. And if you sort of feel like, I think a lot of people, myself included, have felt like the world has been completely out of your control.
Exactly.
And therefore you look for control in other things.
Yes.
And I think that for me, I've thrown myself absolutely head over heels into my Instagram account and all that stuff, and that's been a brilliant distraction this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm well aware that that is probably the reason why I've managed to sort of, my body image improved this year, but I know that it could have gone a very different way.
Completely opposite.
You know, like I've talked like plenty of times before about like my disordered eating that I've experienced in the past, and that's been both restriction, and then when I was younger, I've definitely sort of, I don't think I ever had like binge eating disorder, but I definitely had sort of elements of it mm-hmm. that I struggled with. So it could have gone either of those ways. Mm.
And especially not just in terms of control, but fat phobia has been so real yeah. this year. Like, especially now we're coming out of lockdown, and everyone's just like pushing themselves like, oh, new me, what yeah. am I going to look like after lockdown?
It's just wild, isn't it? Because it's like, I'm planning a post on this because I think it's so important. Mm. Like, what is with our society and this obsession with returning to normal after you've gone through something huge? So like, you know, if you look at like people who've given birth,
exactly,
or like, you know, just you're just expected to like bounce back and like essentially have the same body from age 20 to age like 50 or whatever. Yeah. You're expected to look the same, and you're expected to not show anything for what you've gone through and everything you've overcome, including this pandemic. So people are stressing mm. about the fact that they are going to potentially look a bit different, and also maybe think a bit differently. And, you know, so much has changed. Yeah. And I think we should be embracing that and, you know, being proud of ourselves for what we've achieved.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wish that, like, the media and, well, just, like, people in general were allowing that to happen a bit more. You know, I definitely think there's a pressure mm. and there shouldn't be, because we've had enough pressure put on ourselves this year. And I think if this year has taught us anything, it should be that what we look like is so unimportant, you know?
Yeah, and I completely agree. And I'm starting to think, like, I think we all have in some way to appreciate what we took for granted previously.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like we said a bit just before, like, going out with friends, having nice meals, that's 100%. What we should value.
And do you think that your friends and family have been like, oh, I miss their thigh gap. Oh, I wish I could see that again. No, all they care about, and all anyone should care about, is your brain and like what a wonderful person you are and the good things that you do and what you bring to their life. They do not care what you look like. You know, that's just a fact. Your friends are not your friends because you have a flat stomach.
No.
Like, not true.
Yeah, you know? So not true. Is that, like, something that your followers bring up with you, like, suffering from lockdown eating disorder?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I get a lot. It's a shame, really, because obviously when your account grows, it's really hard to keep on top of all the messages that you get. So I'm beginning at least to struggle quite a lot to respond to everybody, and it breaks my heart a little bit because I see that I get so many messages from people being like, I'm really struggling with this, can you help me, like, you know, this person has made me feel like this, like, my, you know, my family have said stuff or whatever, and basically just people asking for tailored advice, which I just can't, I don't have the time to give. But I do read all the messages, and I try and, rather than it responding individually to every single one, which would take me like my entire life, I use it to inform my content. So mm-hmm. I try to like look at it and I'm like, okay, you know, these are like the problems that quite a lot of people are facing. How can I help that? You know, how can I solve them for them, or help them solve them at least through my content? And that's what I try and do.
What a responsibility.
Not gonna lie, it really is. Because, yeah, there's two things with sort of your account getting bigger. There's the negative comments, which are one thing. But what I find more difficult is the amount of, like, positive things and people wanting, like I said, like, tailored help, or, like, people, even just people, like, wanting to have a chat and be, like, friendly. You know, I get a lot of people who will respond to one of my stories and then we'll have a little, like, chat about that. And then they'll be like, oh, so how has your day been? And I'm like, oh, I don't... Like, I would love to be able to engage in all sorts of conversations like that, but I'm having to learn and train myself, because I'm not very good at boundaries. I'm having to train myself to put in boundaries, and, you know, because I could just sit there and message people all day long, and I get quite stressed at the idea of someone thinking that I'm ignoring them.
Mm.
But just, if anybody's listening, I'm not ignoring. I never ignore, and I always read and I try, but it's because everything's just grown so massively for me over the past year.
Mm.
It's like, I can't do the things that I used to be able to do when I was a tiny little account with 3,000 followers. Mm. Like, it's not the same anymore. And that's great, because it means that my, like, the things that I'm putting out there are being seen by, like, more people. But I do sometimes feel a bit guilty, because I'm like, oh, there's, like, I always said that I would always reply to everybody, and that's definitely not as easy as it sounds.
No, no, I can imagine. It must be really quite overwhelming.
Mm.
I remember last time we talked about the importance of curating your social media feed, and now we talked about various comments you get and people want advice. So once and for all, what advice would you give to people in terms of getting a better self-esteem and better relationship to your body? I know you're a big reader. Have you read any good books you can recommend?
So, absolutely. And so I personally think what has really helped me is I have really tried through kind of books and podcasts and things, but also other people's Instagram accounts, and just doing my own research. I've worked really hard to inform myself about facts and sort of the science behind, like, dieting and why it doesn't work, and why it's all kind of essentially why most of our insecurities have been created by the diet and beauty industries to make money from us.
Mm.
And the more sort of research I do into that, the angrier I get, and the more I'm like, I should not feel bad about any of these things, because if I do, I'm essentially just feeding into that narrative, and I do not want to do that anymore.
No.
And the way that I've done that is, there's a few books that I would really recommend. So the first one that I always recommend to everyone, it's over there on that shelf, it's called Just Eat It, and it's by Laura Thomas, and she is, I'm gonna get it wrong, but she basically owns the, I think it's like the London Society for Intuitive Eating, or it's something like that. And basically the book is about teaching you to unlearn everything you thought you knew about, like, your body, about diet, about, like, food and stuff like that. Unlearn it all, and then relearn how to eat, or how to view food as sort of not, neither good nor bad, and just, you know, learning to listen to your body again, like you did when you were a child. Because the whole ethos behind intuitive eating is that you intuitively know what you need to eat. And you did, you know, as a child, you would sort of eat a certain amount and then you'd stop when you were full.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you'd sort of reach for something that your body was telling you that it needed intuitively. And we lose that ability because diet culture creeps into our lives, like, earlier and earlier, I guess. So that book is great if you want to sort of start healing your relationship with food. And I got it for my birthday last year, so about a year ago. And it has genuinely changed my life. It's been brilliant.
Mm.
But it's also got loads of scientific fact in there. It's got loads of stuff about, like, fat phobia. It teaches stuff about, like movement. And basically the whole ethos is that you should find movement that you enjoy and that makes you feel good. And it shouldn't be about, like, you know, numbers and whatever.
I subscribe to her newsletter, so I get my email.
She's inbox. Brilliant, isn't she?
So good. It's a good, like, little reminder. I think it's every month.
Yeah, I don't actually subscribe to that, so I should.
I recommend that.
But I recommend the book to everyone. I know that she's also got, like, a new one that's come out that goes alongside it, that's like a workbook.
Okay.
I haven't got it, but it looks good.
Yeah.
So maybe check that out. But she's also got a podcast. It's called Don't Salt My Game. So if you're more of a podcast person, that's a good one to listen to.
It's really, really important what you say now, the correlation between diet culture and capitalism.
Oh my God, yeah. And it's really opened my eyes to it. And I'm just like, okay, well, bullshit. It's all bullshit and I don't want to buy into it anymore. So I try not to as much as possible. But I think educating yourself is really good, because it also just, it the more that you do that, the more you feel like confident in your decisions. So like when I listened to the podcast we recorded a year ago, I knew that I sort of felt a certain way, but I wasn't very confident in the way that I spoke about it. And I still was questioning a lot of things because I didn't have the facts.
Yeah.
And now that I have the facts and the science, I'm like, I know I'm right.
Yeah.
I know I can do this. I know I want to tell other people to do it too. So I think that can be really, really helpful, because also you can crack out, you know, if somebody has a dig at you for like, you know, what you're eating at Christmas with your family or whatever, you can bring out some facts and throw them at them and then shut them up, basically.
Yeah.
On my to be read list as well are two books. So one is called Food Isn't Medicine, and that's by Dr. Joshua Walrich.
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
So he is basically, he's a doctor, quite a young doctor, and he basically talks about how he used to think that he couldn't be a good doctor because he was overweight. So he lost a lot of weight, and then now he's essentially realized that that's bullshit. Mm. And he talks a lot about like fat phobia within like medicine, and like his book Food Isn't Medicine has just come out. And it is all about sort of debunking like what he calls Nutribollocks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, things about like detoxing and like not, you know, how you shouldn't eat carbs and blah, blah, blah. And it's massive. It's chunky.
Okay.
And I've got it. And so that's next on my to be read list. And I think that will be really helpful. So, you know, I can't vouch for it necessarily because I haven't read it, but it's got really good reviews and everything. And he's brilliant. So you definitely follow him on Instagram.
Okay.
He has been a really good sort of voice of reason about it's yeah about the medical field, which is something that I think a lot of people struggle with. Mm. And then also the other one that I've recently bought is called The Joy of Being Selfish, and that's by Michelle Ellman. Do you know her?
No,
so she,
I don't.
Again, she's on Instagram. She's at Scarred Not Scared.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about like body image and sort of self-worth and things. So I did therapy this year. That was a big thing for me as well, actually. I was lucky enough to be able to invest in some therapy sessions, and they have taught me that I am not very good at setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. And I care too much about sort of what other people think, and I base my decisions around how they'll affect other people rather than what I actually want, which might sound like I'm just a really selfless person, but actually it's not great, because it means that things happen, like you build up resentment, and you know, you also just, people see you as like someone who can be easily manipulated, which is true, and stuff. So I've been really trying to work on that and improve that element of my life, which isn't necessarily so much to do with body image, but it's more about self-worth.
Yeah, it's all connected.
Of course, yeah, exactly. So Michelle Ellman has written a book called The Joy of Being Selfish, and it's all about setting boundaries. And I am desperate to read it, because that's something that I need in all aspects of my life. So the Instagram stuff, but also just my personal life and stuff like that. And, you know, friendships, relationships, setting boundaries with myself. So I'm really excited. And so they are some things to look into if you want to do some reading. I would recommend those.
Yeah, I haven't heard about them. So it's
a great recommendation. They're both quite new, those two that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. But I got some birthday money, so I was like, that's what I want to educate myself.
Perfect investment. And I also want to add I Weigh, the podcast with Jamila Jamil.
I haven't actually listened to that.
It's,
you know,
so good. Like, she invites different people every episode, and they talk a lot about like we talked about now as well, correlation between diet culture and capitalism. And you know, she's had different doctors on there, so it's a mix of like celebrities and
like professionals.
I highly recommend that as well.
Nice one. There you go. That's a very good little collection of things to dig into.
Yes. 100%. So my last question, I just want to ask you, what's the plan for the future? What do you dream about?
Well, I mean, I keep dreaming that I've murdered someone, and I'm trying to cover it up. So that's what I dream about. I don't know what that says. I had like three of those dreams in the past week. But hopefully that's not actually what's in my future.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea. Like, I don't know. Because, like, things have sort of spiraled so much over this past year that I haven't really had time to, like, sit and think about what I want. Like, at the moment, it's becoming something that I can sort of do as a little, like, side hustle, and it's making me a bit of money. So I don't know how that's going to develop. Like, what I'm very conscious of is that I don't want to lose my integrity. Like, at the moment, I do a few, like, ads here and there, but not loads, and I turn down, you know, I'm not relying on that income, so I turn down things that I don't sort of agree with or 100% sort of feel is what my audience want to see, or, you know, whereas what worries me that is that if it became like a full-time job, I wouldn't have that option. That's so I'm not sure that I would ever want it to be like my full-time thing, but I would like to do sort of other things aside from just my Instagram. So I've talked about the fact that I'd really like to write a book at some point. I've been sort of looking into that. I think I want to do that maybe after this summer, because this summer's going to be really busy, and I want to make the most of like all the sort of free time and stuff and being able to do things. But maybe sort of next winter I might start planning that. I think I would want it to be about the childhood element of things, because I think that's just something that I haven't really seen any literature around, kind of like growing up fat, if you see what I mean. And then sort of helping people then to do what I've done and unlearn those years of diet culture. So it would be like a mixture of like little biographical sort of stories and anecdotes and things, and then like practical tips and sort of help, if you see what I mean.
That's a key word, you said that, unlearn.
Yeah.
Like old habits.
Exactly.
That's more difficult than learning, I think.
Oh my God, so difficult, because you're just, you're programmed to think a certain way. So that. But then I've also thought about things like, I'd like to do more speaking, because I really enjoy it. It scares me. And that's good, I think. So because I enjoyed podcasting and things like that, and I find that quite easy-ish. It's not too stressful. But I'd quite like to do maybe like some public speaking. Even just the thought of it terrifies me, but I'd like to do that, because I'd like to prove to myself that I can.
I love that.
And I've even thought, like, this is obviously like quite a big thing, but I was like, oh, I'd quite like to do like a kind of festival of some kind, because I love festivals, and the idea of like maybe one day in a few years putting on like a kind of self-love festival, like,
sounds amazing.
I mean, I'd go, I'd buy a ticket, so hopefully other people would. You can come and let me know if you think that's a good idea. I need to know that it's you know, worthwhile. But yeah, just things like that. And I think I just tend to, I'm not a big goal setter. In fact, I'm not a goal setter at all. I hate like planning for the future, because I just find that, I think I worry that like if I do that, it won't happen, and then I'll you know, find that difficult, and I feel disappointed in myself. So I tend to sort of just take things as they come. But I am sort of starting to be like, okay, I can, because I've seen other like people, other activists and stuff, get to this stage with the kind of following that I have and do like amazing things. So I'm like, oh, maybe I can do some amazing things. That would be nice.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah.
You're already doing so much, but I'm really excited to see where it's all going, to read your book, to go to your festival. It all sounds amazing.
You'll be on the press list, don't worry.
Oh, yeah, great. but yeah, where can people find you?
So you can find me, the best place is just Instagram. So I'm at A Spoonful of Alice. I also have a blog, but I'm not very good at keeping up with that. So the Instagram is probably the place, I would say.
Yeah.
So find me there.
Yeah, definitely. Do it now. But thank you so much, Alice.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. I've had such a nice time.
Yeah, same. So many good insights. So yeah, thank you.
I'm very excited to listen back.